You can turn in your Bible with me to James chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 1 through 6. And the title of my message for this Sunday is Facing the Challenges of Wealth. And I know most of you are thinking, well, I'm not wealthy, and how does this pertain to me? But if you just sit and listen, we'll get definitely get a nugget from James, like we do every Sunday for our lives. So find that in your Bible, James chapter 5, verse 1 through 6. And the title is Warning to Rich Oppressors. And I'm going to read the first verse, and then we're going to kind of clarify what's going on here, who James is speaking to, and then we'll read through the rest of it. Now listen, you rich people, weep and wail because of the misery that is coming on you. Now that's not a very great verse to hear, right, as a believer. So who James is addressing here, this is the second time that James does this in his book, and it's the last time. But he addresses people who are going to church, who are part of the body of Christ, but they're not believers in the way that they're living their lives, especially as it pertains to being wealthy. And that's who he's addressing here. And so he's calling them out. And he, in fact, he's calling them out to the point that he's even saying to them that the way that they live their lives, I don't even believe that you're a believer or follower of Jesus Christ, the way that they're living. So that's how he starts out with this verse here. And notice he says, just be prepared because your day's coming, is what he says to them. And then he goes on to say this, here's your problem. So your wealth has rotted and moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. You've hoarded the wealth in the last days. Look, the wages you failed to pay the workers who mowed your fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. You've lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You've fattened yourselves in the day of slaughter. You've condemned and murdered the innocent one who was not opposing you. The reading of the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we look at those words this morning, we pray through your Holy Spirit that you bring that word to life for us. Lord, I pray today that your Spirit falls upon those that have gathered here in this church this morning and those online. Lord, may you just open their hearts, minds, and souls to receive your teaching. Lord, I pray for that same Spirit to fill me this morning, that these words would be your words and that, Lord, never mind. And Lord, may you teach us in a way that you just refresh us, refresh our souls and spirits today. In Jesus, I pray these things. Amen. Now, the first thing you're thinking about the Bible verse that I just read you this morning is that this does not apply to me because I am not wealthy. Now, I have some people on the screen this morning that you will probably recognize. Do you know who the one that, Microsoft, you see it in the background? Who would that be this morning? Bill Gates, all right? In the middle. How many of you order stuff through Amazon here this morning? Who would that be? Jeff Bezos, exactly. Very wealthy man in the United States. And then who's the older gentleman down on, would be your, what, right corner? Lives in Omaha, very wealthy. Who would that be? Warren Buffett, correct. So here's the problem that you and I have today, is that when we read these set of verses, we see that God is telling us that those of us who are wealthy, and so we compare ourselves to those who are wealthy in the world, right? And so by my wealth, according to Jeff Bezos and Bill Gates and Warren Buffett, and there's others as well, I am dirt poor, ain't I? You might feel the same way this morning. Well, we're not wealthy individuals. We're doing okay, and we make a good living, and we might have some money put away or some equity built up and whatever it is that you're involved in your lives. But yet, when I compare myself to the wealthy people of the world, James isn't speaking to you and I. You see, and then we dismiss it in our lives. But that's not what we're getting at this morning. And so I want you to think about this in your life this morning, in the world. How many of you are in the workforce and you work for a living? How many of you have a job? All right? Just about all of us do. How many of you in your job do you make at least $10,000 a year earning a wage to make a living on? How many of you do that? All right, now remember, I see you, so put your hand up. So I know you guys work and you make a living. $10,000 doesn't go very far, but I want you to know this. You are wealthier and you make more money than 85% of the people in the world today. That's quite a number. Now let me do this one more time to you. How many of you, and you don't have to raise your hands, but if you're a dual income family, I guarantee you that most of you are close to this, between your benefits and your wages, that you're making $50,000 a year. Because get this, you're 99% of the wealthiest people in the world today. Now tell me what that verse says to you. You're in the 1% of the world's wealthiest people today. You and I, because of where we live and the money that we make. Did you know that 1 billion people today, there's over 7 billion people in the world today, did you know that over 1 billion people today live on a dollar and a quarter or less? How many of you have been to McDonald's and you bought something off the value menu for a buck and a quarter, right? You can get the double burger, I think, for 99 cents. You think about that. There are people that live on less than that in this world today. A buck and a quarter a day. So now that I put this in perspective, where do you find yourself? Who's James speaking to? Okay? Now here's what I want you to think about this morning, is that I don't want you to think about, you know, I don't want this to be about money, because it's not. This message for us is about how we use our wealth. And God is very concerned about how we use our wealth, because there are ways that we can misuse our wealth today, and that is a reflection of your heart towards God the Father. So that's what I want you to think about as you go through this message today, and I'm going to give you some indications through Scripture, and if you have your Bible open with you this morning, you're just going to go flip through it verse by verse by verse, and we're going to look at these things this morning. Remember that buck and a quarter a day, by the way, and you go through this morning. Now, there is nothing wrong with wealth, right? Abraham in the Bible, wealthy. King Solomon, King David, others, tremendous amounts of wealth, and they are people of God. There's nothing wrong with running a successful business and being profitable and making money and providing for your families. There's nothing sinful about any of that. But what you do with it matters to God. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. So we're going to go through this list. The first thing that I want you to think about, there's four things I'm going to give you that deal with this title. James gives us four warning signs in Scripture that trouble might be coming to your life if this is what you're doing. All right? And then we're going to have four more examples behind that. We'll get to that in a little bit. The first one you can see on the screen comes from James 5, verse 2. Your wealth has rotted, and moths have eaten your clothes. Now, we know that this is figuratively, and we know that what James is trying to tell us here is that don't put your value in the things that you have, because they can be taken away from you in a moment's notice, right? You could go home, and God forbid, your house might burn down, or whatever it might be, that you have the potential to lose those earthly things to war, to decay, whatever it might be that can happen in your life. The second thing that I want to talk to you about is James 5, verse 3. Your gold and silver are corroded. Now, notice the car that I have there in the picture. That's a pretty old car. I can't remember. That's probably somewhere in the 70s, and I pulled this off the internet, but it's full of rust and decay. So what I want you to realize is the word corroded that's in the Bible here. Another word that I could use for it would be to rust away or to fall apart is what that could also mean to us today. So don't put your worth in things that will only last a few years, maybe a lifetime. All right? How many of you are sentimental? Yeah, some of us do. How many of you have family heirlooms that you have in your family and they get passed down through generation and you have things like that you hold on to that are dear to you, they're close to you, they maybe have good memories and those types of things? I want you to think about those types of things in your life. They will not last forever, right? They might last for a couple hundred years and whatever it might be, but here's the point I want to make with you this morning. If you're holding on to earthly things tighter than you're holding on to God, in your life, you might have an issue. Now, I brought up family heirlooms because sometimes we get attached to those things. Those are not bad things that you can hold on to and have in your life. But you get the point. If you have certain things that are in your life that are more sacred to you than God, and it revolves around possessions and wealth and the things you have, you might have a serious problem in your faith walk with God the Father. And you get it. You understand it in your life. So I want you to be aware of that. Your possessions should never be more important than your relationship with God the Father. That's one of the things that James is trying to point out to us this morning. Here's the third one this morning. Comes from James 5, verse 3. Their corrosion will testify against you. Now, this one here, I'm going to just say it to you this way. This addresses us misusing our wealth. I want you to think about that and how you use your money this morning. It gets a little more personal here. There's a warning given here that we're not to misuse the wealth of God that He's given us. And we'll discuss misuse in just a little bit so you understand what that might look like in the Christian life. James says that someday we're going to stand before God and we're going to answer for the things that we've been given and how we use them to build the kingdom of God. And there's a problem going on here in James' time in the church. All right, he's speaking to people that have extreme wealth in the church, but yet they're not followers of God. They're more attached to their worldly things and their possessions. And here's the issue, is that they're living for their wealth, not for God. They used it for self-indulgence. They didn't use it to build the kingdom of God with the great amount of wealth. Now, there is nothing wrong with... How many of you like to go camping, go on vacation? Maybe you have a lake home. There's nothing wrong with those types of things. But when they drive you away from your relationship with God the Father, and they become more important to you than your relationship with God, now you've got a problem. Your heart's misaligned. How many of you ever driven a car that's out of alignment? You get a bad tire on it, and it's got a little bit of a wobble to it, and you get to be about 45 miles an hour, and then you get to 55, it kind of levels off. Have you ever been that? Or you've been in a car that just pulls all the time towards the ditch, and you got to kind of ride the steering wheel? Some of you are laughing out there because you know exactly what I'm talking about, right? Yeah. And it's kind of like that in your spiritual life. When when it's misused and you're out of alignment, things aren't going to be quite right in your life. It's kind of like that car. Right? It doesn't have a smooth ride to it. It's bumpy, it's rough, you're fighting it all the time. The same thing goes on in your life, spiritually. Because God is deeply concerned about how we're going to use our wealth, because it's a reflection of our heart. What are you aligned with this morning? What are you grasping for? What are you working for? What are you striving for when it comes to money? Possessions, wealth, in those things in your life. Because if you and I allow those things to consume us, we misuse our wealth. And here's what it says will be the end result. In the blue box in the bottom of the screen, my fourth point out of James 3, verse 3. It will eat your flesh like fire. Meaning that at some point, there's two ways that it talks about destruction that will come upon you. And there's two ways that might come to you. I truly believe that sometimes God allows wealthy people to fall upon this earth and they lose everything. The second way I want to tell you about is the most severe way, is that you will lose your spiritual life with God. And you will be spiritually destroyed by wealth that can sneak into your life because it can control you. It can take you over. It can rule you. And this is what James is speaking about. Be careful that does not happen in your life. So let's talk about how we can misuse our wealth this morning. There are four ways that I want to talk to you about that as well. James 5, verse 3, you've hoarded wealth in the last days. That's our first one that we want to talk about this morning. If you have a desire to heap up wealth, just to grow your bank account and to fill your garage and to have the nicest things that the world offers, and that's all you live for in your life, I'd almost say that that is sinful. God doesn't call us to those types of lifestyles as believers in Jesus Christ. And this is what James says to you this morning, to me. James says, such activity eventually leads to trusting in that wealth. And in time, here's where the tragedy comes in. It will become your God in your life. It will become your God. Don't allow wealth to become your God. So how do we keep that from occurring in your life? All right, so here's what I want you to think about. In your Christian walk, in your Christian life, I want you to be generous towards God. And by all means, this congregation has been very generous the last few months in the things that we've done. But I want you to keep your heart on fire for His kingdom. Keep your eye on the prize, right? And I think there's even a scripture that speaks to that. Don't be drawn away, because Satan's sure going to try. He's going to throw a lot of shiny things into your life, right? And we love to polish the shiny things, don't we, that we have. Keep your eye on the prize. Be generous to God. Keep your passions working for the kingdom of God. That's how you allow your life not to fall into that trap of becoming trapped by Satan in greed and hoarding and wealth and possessions and those things that go on. Secondly, this morning I want to share this one with you. Excuse me, I better back up one. It's in the middle of the screen, James 5, verse 4. It says, look, and notice there's a big exclamation mark behind that in Scripture. That means pay attention. Right, is what James is saying to you and I. The wages you failed to pay your workers who mowed your fields are crying out against you. Now, straightforward, we know what's going on here. What he's saying to them is that, hey, there are people that are working for you and you're not taking care of them. You're not providing for them. You're not paying for their wage that they work for, and you're frauding them. You're robbing them of that. Is what James is saying here to the people in this church. But there's a deeper message here that I want you to get this morning. And here's it is. God is concerned in the ways that you and I accumulate and make our wealth. That's important to Him. And that's what He's saying to you and I this morning. Right? You and I, in our business dealings, in the work that we do, whether you're a boss or you're an employee or you own something, you should never, ever cheat. You should never, ever defraud somebody or take advantage of somebody in your business dealings in life. Especially to gain wealth. God forbids that. And here's a verse. I don't have it on the screen, but you can maybe write it down in your outline. Proverbs 16, verse 8 says this. All right, now, this speaks to contentment in our lives, by the way. It says, better a little with righteousness than much gain with injustice. Do you ever have that when you just go to work every day and it seems like you just never get anywhere? Have you ever been that way in your life where you just keep working and working and you just get this bill paid for and then that bill comes and, you know, and then there's always that eagerness to, boy, I would love to have something that would just get me rich fast, right? That's what that verse speaks of there. And what it says is be content, be steady, keep working at it because God will bless you in the midst of those things. All right? Be honest in your business dealings and your work ethic with others. Third, James 5, verse 5. You've lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. Now remember, wealth is not a sin. Keep that in mind here when I talked about that this morning. Being successful in business, being good at your job, getting paid well, that's not sinful. Those are the blessings of God. However, there is a misuse of wealth that is contrary to living a life for Christ. And that's what this verse speaks about here this morning. The people that James are speaking to at this verse here are the people who live for the extravagances of life and not for God. And so obviously that brings up the question for you and I this morning then, as we follow Christ, who are we living for as we go to work every day? All right? Why do you get up in the morning? Tomorrow morning you got to get up and go to work, and I get that's my day off, by the way, is Monday. But for me it's Tuesday. But why do you get out of bed in the morning? What drives you? What motivates you? And what I want to say to you is I want to let Jesus Christ motivate you and the blessings that you get to partake in throughout that day, whatever that looks like. Because if you go to work just to pay the bills and you go to work to try to gain more possessions, and you know what I found out over time is that it's empty. It sure isn't very enjoyable. But when you're working for Jesus Christ and you see the blessings that you get to be a part of throughout your day, see, money doesn't really make that big of a deal anymore, does it? And the great things in life can be experienced when you start to live like that. Talk to somebody that's older than you and they'll speak to you that way. It takes a while to figure that out. So young people, be aware of that in your life. We're not to be people who live for the pleasures of wealth. They're usually people who put their trust in their money and not in God. Let me talk to you about the fourth one. Excuse me here. It's in the middle of your screen this morning. James 5, verse 6. You've condemned and murdered the innocent one who is not opposing you. What is that supposed to mean? Let me explain that to you this morning. People who trust in wealth are never satisfied because it consumes their heart. And usually people that start to gain wealth and they let greed consume them, what's the one thing that they continue to strive for? More wealth, isn't it? So I want you to think about people in life in general. When you see people like this, you might know somebody that maybe lives this way. I mean, there are people that live in our communities that live this type of a lifestyle. All right? Now, you got that picture in your head, and hopefully it's not you that I'm speaking about this morning, but maybe it is. But here's what God says. You know, people who always strive for more, they're never satisfied when it comes to wealth. Their desire becomes so strong to have more that they're willing to run over anybody in their life. They're willing to run their neighbors over. They're willing to run their family over, their friends over, to gain things, to gain possessions and wealth and whatever it might be. And that's what this verse speaks of to us this morning. And so we have to be very careful that we never use our wealth to control someone else. Because then we just cross the line. And maybe you've had that happen in your life where somebody owns something or controls something and they wield it over you and they kind of work it against you. And God says there's no room for that if you're going to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And I got a story for you this morning that I want to share with you, a biblical story of what that might look like. And if you have time this afternoon, go home and read 1 Kings verse 21. It's the story of Ahab. He wants Naboth's vineyard, all right? So Ahab and his wife, they love this vineyard. Just imagine a beautiful vineyard in the Middle East, a beautiful farm. We can relate to that here today. I mean, it's well kept, it's taken care of. And Ahab has a desire for it. He wants it. And he goes to Naboth and he says, Naboth, I want your vineyard. It's beautiful. I want to live here. I'll offer you whatever you want. I got the money and gold to buy it. And Naboth says, nope. I'm going to stay right here. And then he goes home and he tells his wife and he's down in the dumps. And his wife sees how depressed he is, and so what's the wife do? She hires a few hitmen. Literally, that's what she does. And they go take Naboth out. And those hitmen come back, and they said, our work is done. And his wife goes to Ahab and says, Ahab, the vineyard's yours. Go take it. That's exactly what we speak about here. So you and I, and we live life. Here's what I'm going to tell you. Here's where the rubber meets the road this morning. As you live life and you do business and you accumulate wealth, of course, you use it to build the kingdom of God. And we know that we should never use it to control people in our lives in that way. But here's what else I want you to think about this morning is how are you using that wealth to build the kingdom? But never, ever should you take away the ability for somebody to make a living. Or to provide for their family. Because that's unbiblical. Just because you have the power or the wealth or the possessions to control things, you have to be very careful how you use those things. Because that could be a misuse. That's one of the things that James is talking about here in the church this morning. He's seen the wealth that people had and the way that they are living their lives. And so you and I, we need to allow others a piece of the pie to make a living, to be blessed in the things that they do in their lives. So I want you to think about that today. So we got this warning about misuse of sin in our lives, of wealth. And we know that it can lead to destruction. But let me ask you this question. Where does your wealth come from? Where does your possessions that you have come from? Where does your weekly paycheck or your monthly salary, where does that all come from? Where does the food that you're going to go home and you're going to have for Sunday dinner, where does that come from? From who? The hand of God. And if you can always remember that, you'll never have to worry about getting sucked away in greed and wealth. Because we give praise to our Holy Father for the things that He provides for us on a daily basis. And many of us, all of us, I think, are very blessed today with the things that we have. You're wealthy, all right? And I'm not talking about your checkbook. You're wealthy because you're a follower of Jesus Christ. Amen? Remember that in your life for the things that you're going through today. And hang on to that. May I finish with this verse that's on the screen? Proverbs 1:10. Oh, I can't even read today. I better get my glass. 10 verse 22. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and He addeth no sorrow with it. See, being a follower of Jesus Christ, being a follower of God the Father, which I just talked about, is the best blessing that you'll ever receive in this life. And get this, it says in the second part, He abideth no sorrow with it. Another word that I could say to you is, you don't have to work for it. It's a free gift by the grace of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we give You praise today. We know that for just about all of us here today, Lord, Your blessings, Your mercies, Your grace is so evident in our lives. Lord, we drove to church here in a car that the heater works well. We're so thankful and blessed. Lord, we go home to have a noon meal. And Lord, yet our fridge is full. Our food pantries are stocked. Lord, and Your goodness is seen all over. Now, we know that there are some within our communities that are hurting, Lord, but yet the blessings that You bestow upon us through different avenues, such as our food pantry here in town, Lord, we know that never shall anybody go hungry in the land that we live. Lord, help us to count our blessings. Lord, help us to understand that everything that we have comes from Your hand. Lord, may we always give You praise for that in our lives. May we live like that, and may we share in Your goodness. Lord, a hand that's full of blessings can never receive another blessing, but a hand that passes blessings out can always receive more from Your hand. May we be reminded of Your goodness every day, Lord. And we give You praise for Jesus Christ, who died for our sins. In whose name I pray, Lord. Amen. I'm going to invite you to stand this morning, and you